Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 5 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 40. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, speak to us. We want to know you. We want to encounter you. We're going to look you in the eyes as we study and read your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 40, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. I'm going to pause right there and mention that yesterday on the podcast, we talked about how long Joseph was in prison. And I think this has got to be one of the most painful sentences in the Bible up to now. Sometime later, Joseph is just languishing in prison. He's got to feel like his life has been squandered by other people. How many people in the history of planet Earth have lived under repression and oppression through no fault of their own? And wondered, what could I have been if I'd had the opportunity? How many people think that now? Just because our lives feel squandered, just because we feel like we're in a place where we're overlooked and bypassed, doesn't mean the Lord has forgotten where we are. We might be where we are because the Lord has put us there. It's not always the case, but in Joseph, in his life, that's definitely the case. The Lord has set him up and allowed wicked people, evil people, to have their way with him so that he could be exactly where the Lord wants him to be. The Lord sees us through eternal eyes. Sometimes knowing that the Lord is in charge of that process, even when it hurts, even when we find ourselves in terrible situations and places, the Lord will give us grace to trust him and to know that it's him leading us. I encourage you, just put yourself in Joseph's position as best you can. We've all experienced things like this in our lives. Not all of us have experienced things exactly like Joseph. I don't know how many of us have been falsely accused and thrown in an Egyptian prison for some length of time. But there are people out there who are literally going through that today in Egypt or in other places around the world, falsely accused. That really does happen today. But it doesn't mean that the other things that we go through are any less important. They may not be physically as difficult as what Joseph went through, but emotionally, they might be just as bad. Because really, in everything that Joseph's going to suffer, we're going to find out that the emotions of what he suffers are the worst part. And that's almost always true for everyone. People that have been tortured, sometimes the worst part is the emotional component of it. Verse 2, Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Remember, Joseph's pretty much in charge of everything. Continuing on, after they'd been in custody for some time, again, more passage of time. Verse 5, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Verse 6, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? I mean, they're all in prison together. They must have looked something terrible. I can't imagine that there's a whole lot of people who are just looking really excited to be in this, you know, ancient dungeon to begin with. So these guys are looking worse than normal. Verse 8, we both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. So he gives the cupbearer good news. The Lord shows Joseph that the cupbearer is going to be restored, and Joseph's thinking, hey, you're going to be standing right next to Pharaoh. Mention me. Mention this guy who told you that this was going to happen before it happened, and maybe Pharaoh will be intrigued by me. Get me out of here. I don't deserve to be here. I mean, Joseph is obviously desperate to get out of here. Again, they must have looked something terrible because no one is happy to be in this place. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. What a terrible answer. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, the baker is like thinking, oh, the cupbearer got a good word. It's like, I can't wait to hear what my interpretation is. And then he's got to be like, okay, I regret asking you. I'm going to just go back and sit in my corner and look terrible. I mean, what a terrible thing to have to hear if you're the baker. What this basically means is either through some investigation or just on the whim of Pharaoh, it seems clear that the baker is supposed guilty and the cupbearer supposed innocent. So the only reason you would throw a cupbearer and a baker into prison is because you feel like there was poison in the food or in the cup. And that's really what's going on here, is the cupbearer is the one who's supposed to like taste the wine first to make sure that it's not poisoned and all that kind of stuff. They're kind of like the guys, the gatekeepers to Pharaoh's life to make sure no one's trying to kill him. And Pharaoh, either through investigation, finding out it's true, or whether or not he just on a whim feels like this is true, which either one are equally valid in this case, he decides that the baker's guilty and the cupbearer is innocent. Verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. How sad. Probably easy, probably human nature, to get put back in your place. And obviously the cupbearer thought he was innocent as well. So he's back in his place and he forgets about this guy that told him all these things that were going to happen. I mean, how crazy is that? That in just 3 days' time, you forget this amazing guy who's able to tell you beforehand what your dream meant. I mean, with that kind of detailed accuracy, he was restored and he saw the baker impaled. And none of that meant anything to him. How often does the Lord speak to us in clear ways and we're not that interested in hearing from him? We're just interested in our stuff. Once the cupbearer got put back into place, and he's got this position of stature again, he doesn't care. He doesn't care that the Lord spoke to him. He doesn't care that the Lord was kind enough to him to speak to him in a dream and have Joseph in the right place at the right time to give him the interpretation. Oh, I pray that that would never be us. I pray that when the Lord speaks to us, when the Lord touches us, that we'd be fascinated by him. When we read his word and we get revelation, we get impartation from God's word, that we would never take it for granted, that we would be fascinated by him. That when we walk outside and we see the beauty and the glory of God's creation, that we'd be fascinated by it and we'd turn our eyes to Jesus. And pray that we never get comfortable with our stuff, our things, our positions, so that we're not fascinated by the God who cares enough to speak and move and act and touch our lives. And may we never be like this cupbearer. Joseph's story isn't over here, of course. And here is the time where, again, I encourage you to read the book of Genesis once a week for these 10 weeks. We've got two more weeks left after today. I encourage you, if you're just now starting, commit to reading it just two more times. Don't worry about going back and trying to catch up. Just read it two more times. If you read it two or three times in the next two or three weeks, that'll probably be more than most people have ever read the entire book of Genesis in their entire lives. Give yourself to reading it. Give yourself to just filling your mind over and over again with God's word. You'll never regret that you did. His word brings life. His word brings freedom. His word will bring us fascination with God if we let it. Next week, we'll talk about the good part of Joseph's story. But one of the things, even about the good part, is that Joseph is never going to forget the pain and the trouble of this time in his life. This was a long time. We're talking decades that Joseph is in Potiphar's house and in prison. A long, long time that he didn't deserve. But the Lord is going to raise him up. The Lord hasn't forgotten. And the Lord has him there on purpose, for a purpose. And again, Joseph or anyone with a brain never would have chosen this for themselves. Because the Lord had big plans for him, he had to have Joseph go through this on the front end. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next week with another day of the podcast.